So these two wayward disciples, it tells us in verse 14, they were having a conversation. And that's our first point, the conversation. Naturally, of course, if they're having a conversation, everything that they've gone through, of course, that conversation is going to be focused. It's going to be centered on everything that they've just experienced, right? Their Messiah, their teacher, their Lord, their rabbi, right? The one that they looked to was now dead. And then all of a sudden, now they're hearing his body's gone. They don't know what to make of it, right? And we're going to see, it's not just, oh, they're talking about it like, hey, well, what do you think? What do you think? Oh, I think it's this. Oh, I think it's that. No. This was a heated conversation. A heated conversation. We'll see that. Verse 15, it's at this point that Jesus steps in. It's interesting. We're going to see this dynamic here. Verse 15 says, so it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. The word reasoned in the original Greek actually means to question or to dispute. These guys were like going, no, man, that can't be the case. No, this is what happened. No, you're wrong. You know, they were so emotionally charged. They didn't understand what was going on. They had no clue. And they were just, you know, using their own kind of logic or thinking, right, to kind of figure out, make sense of what happened. And Jesus meets them, right? Now, also, verse 16 goes on to say, when Jesus meets them, this is really amazing, right? It says, their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. Now that, I find that fascinating, right? Because that's the power of the Lord, of course, but we're not told how, right? Somehow Jesus caused their eyes not to recognize him, at least not right away. I remember a couple of years actually back when we first moved here, I went to David has these Jesus and pizza meetings with some of the youth. And we were talking about this very moment. And one of the girls that was in the group, she kind of came up with the idea, well, maybe Jesus was a shapeshifter. And I thought, well, you know what? I mean, I don't necessarily think that, but that was actually an interesting concept. Like, okay, you know, she was at least thinking, right? And you got to imagine, though, the scene, right? These guys are walking along, having this emotionally heated conversation, and here comes this person that just kind of walks along beside him. Now, we know, because we know the story, right? We know it's Jesus, but they didn't know. They didn't know it was Jesus. And Jesus, he enters the conversation. So there, you know, have you ever had that? You're like, you're talking with somebody else, and then somebody else kind of comes along that you don't even know, and they enter your conversation. It's real awkward. Like, who are you, and why are you talking to us? You're not even a part of our conversation. But he does. He enters the conversation. Verse 17, he says to them, what kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? Now, that right there, he says that are sad. Of course, it indicates they were grieving. They were grieving, right? But understand, when Jesus asked that question, of course he knows what they're talking about, right? Jesus knows all, but he's who they're talking about. He knows who they're talking about, but he's kind of questioning them in such a way because he's about to give them a Bible study, right? He's about to actually open their hearts, open their minds, open their eyes. And the question that Jesus gives may seem naive and open-ended, but that's purposeful. I like their response, though, right? This guy Jesus asked the question to these two disciples. In verse 18, one of them, it says, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said to them, so we know his name was Cleopas. He says to this, though, he says, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days? Like, in other words, in our vernacular, you might say, have you been living under a rock? Like, did you just come out of a cave? Like, you're coming from the direction we're coming from, Jerusalem. You had to have known. Now, I can imagine Cleopas maybe later after the fact, when everything has been all said and revealed, right? That he probably thought, I probably shouldn't have said that to Jesus. But at that point, he's like incredulous that the fact that this person wouldn't know anything about this, right? And the idea here is, though, that the point of his comment was that Jesus' crucifixion was no small matter. It wasn't like something that was done and nobody else knew about it. In fact, Paul, in the book of Acts, he's standing before King Agrippa and he's testifying. And he says to King Agrippa that the things that were done weren't done in a corner. You know, King Agrippa, like, in other words, everyone that's in Jerusalem and in all of Israel and even beyond in the Roman Empire, I'm sure, started to hear about what took place on that day. So when Jesus was crucified, it wasn't like it was done in a corner, or like, as Paul said, it wasn't done in, like, you know, in secret. It was, like, well known. And so Jesus, you know, his question kind of catches these guys off guard. And so they ask him, they're like, you know, don't you understand these things? And I love Jesus' response. And you have to know that this proves that God has a sense of humor, because Jesus responds to them in verse 19, what things? like what, you know? They're like, okay, let me tell you, right? Cleopas and the other guy, like, all right, let me tell you. Verse 19, they said to him, the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified. You know, that thing, right? And I can imagine Jesus, and I always oftentimes when I'm thinking about these passages, I think of, like, what other things were being thought at the time, or how other individuals, and especially Jesus, would have been, you know, like, what it would have looked like to him and how he would have responded. And you can imagine as he's saying, you know, Jesus of Nazareth, and he's like, mm-hmm, oh, a prophet, mighty indeed is he, okay. You know, like, he's probably just kind of going along with it, kind of playing along and so on. But here's the thing, his confession, or what he says to Jesus, is basically, it kind of reveals the problem, why they were sad, why they were upset, right? Because it tells us that they still, at this point, only understood that Jesus was a prophet, right? That he was just a man. Yeah, okay, sure, he was mighty indeed, right? A lot of miracles and so on. Mighty in word. Sure, everything that he said just touches and penetrated people's hearts, but still just a prophet, right? Just a prophet. And listen, that is no different than it is today, right? People see Jesus as just a prophet or just a good teacher, right? And if they look at the Bible, or if they look at Jesus, or they look at God with a certain look or a certain expectation, a certain viewpoint, a perspective, if you will, if they see it and it's not a perspective that lines up with God's word, they are at best going to be sorely disappointed. At worst, they're going to be, you know, like, angry and even kind of retaliating against the things that they read or they know or they think they know against God and so on. So certainly, we can say that these two disciples were disappointed. They thought, you know, Jesus was going to be the Messiah and take over and you know, and all that. They were disappointed. They had a wrong understanding about who Jesus was to them. And of course, Jesus is about to correct their thinking.